morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon, and I truly am honored and privileged this morning to have someone that I have an enormous respect for, both as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney. He is our new, well, he's not new anymore. He's battled and scarred by now, but our new district attorney, Timothy Shagrew. Good morning, DA Shagrew. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. Nice to see you. Very well, thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, congratulations. All reports, well, the reports that I listen to are you're doing a great job. And just to see how, I have to say this before we get started. This is not District Attorney Shagrew first rodeo. He's been in the criminal justice field. He doesn't look it. He's not like me, old. But he still has hair. We'll see after 4 years. But right now, he still has hair. But seriously, he did something that I had a lot to do with or interaction with, not the setting of it, when I was a Pittsfield cop. And that, D.A. Shagrew, he considers it one of his greatest accomplishments. And I have to say it is something that we could not do without in today's world. And that is he was one of the founding member of Kids Place and Violence Prevention Center, the first and only advocacy center in Berkshire County. He did this.
We were actually the first in New England, the first in Massachusetts. And I went to Huntsville, Alabama, and developed that program with, it was just Joe, Detective Joseph Collier, so you brought an old colleague of yours.
Yeah.
He was a detective doing sexual assaults back in 1991 when I moved back here, and him and I established and founded and began to run the Berkshire County Children's Advocacy Center. And then I incorporated it in 1993, so it turned 30 years old this year. So it's been a nice run for the 30 years. It's doing great. It's still expanding. It's getting bigger. It's doing a great job. I'm very proud of the fact that this has been operable now for three decades and going on the fourth decade of having developed a great program for abused children in Berkshire County.
And I can tell you, matter of fact, no politics, no nothing. I don't know what we would do, what the community would do without Kids Place.
It's an invaluable asset. It helps children who have gone through a traumatic abuse. It helps domestic violence victims. It helps the families cope with that. We treat child abuse very seriously, and we treat the offenders very seriously. And what we're doing is taking it to the next level, is helping the victims of crimes that have this to get medical treatment, to get mental health treatment, to get our sympathy and understanding as they go through the criminal justice system with DCF and law enforcement, all working together along with my office to help coordinate the awful task of bringing a child through the criminal justice system, and also to help them ease from the pain and the trauma of having been abused. And I can say we have actually, we've serviced thousands and thousands of children in the last 30 years. So it has been nothing but a tremendous asset to this community. And it was one of the reasons why I decided I was going to run for district attorney, is because I know that I can develop similar type things within this office, and we're off to a roaring start already.
You're a humble guy, and you don't like this, but thank you to you and Joe. I see Joe on occasion.
Great man.
Yeah, he is, but I don't tell him. I would never tell him. But seriously, it's in today's day and age with the abuse, the significant increase, I think, or maybe not increase, but the significant knowledge of child abuse.
Right. That's the best way to phrase it. It's knowledge hasn't really increased, but we're more aware of it, and we focus in on it. And now we're dealing it on a more crucial level. And I think it's helping the kids get through the process.
And for my audience, in case you don't know, listeners and viewers, the district attorney has a long history in the courtroom. He himself prosecuted. He was an assistant DA in Hamden and then here, but he's also been a defense attorney. So I kind of don't take this as an offense, please. I compare him with myself. I've been on both sides of the bar. I've been a cop and I've been a corrections person. And what, so I think what I find with Attorney Shugrue, District Attorney Shugrue, is he's knowledgeable. He's in his thing. I have to read. Core to the DA's philosophies is the importance of accountability. And, you know, throughout the system, and I think the DA won't disagree, sometimes the system has been, it hasn't been accountable for what it's done. And right now, we need people who know the game and also can, as DA Shugrue does, also have that, and you just heard it from him. There's child abusers, but in my experience in the joint, most of them were victims.
That's right.
And so your sensitivity to that, I applaud you. I really do.
The whole idea
doesn't always work.
Right. The whole idea is to break the cycle of abuse. Most abusers, as we know, had been abused. If we deal with the victim that has gone through this process and we treat them and help them get through the process, so we undo this sort of learned behavior and understand that this is not the normal situation. So there is a lot of benefit to breaking that cycle, ending the abuse that sometimes we found out was generational. So it really does make a big difference if we can treat young kids at an early age. And to take that to a different level, not just in child abuse do we do that, we do that across the board. That's why the juvenile court is such an important court if we handle it the right way, is because we need to get, and just regular public awareness and prevention of crimes, we need to start early with kids in elementary school and younger ages so that we're helping kids that are navigating difficulties in their lives through the criminal justice system if something happens in their families. So we're very, very sensitive to that, and that's our next phase is what we're working on, is building a tremendous statewide juvenile program out of the Berkshire. So that's our, and I know that's a big part of your past history. So I think you're going to like to hear what we've got planned.
I would love to, and someday because you're working, I'm retired. I'll let you buy me a coffee.
You bet. We'll love to have you over. Come see the place. And we'll bring you to juvenile court. We'll show you around. We have a beautiful juvenile court here, and we've got great accessibility and great leadership in our judges that are here. They've given us an office over there. They've given our They've also, so our ADA, we've hired an ADA that focuses on children and on juvenile crimes. And on top of that, we have now hired a diversion coordinator and also a delinquency advocate for the juvenile court. So we have a team that's going to be really attacking the problems that we face with juvenile offenders, both with diversion and with adjudications for kids that have to go through the process. So I think we have a very sensitive and a very detailed program that we're establishing now with the juvenile court.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that, because my thing is that we need to break the cycle. A quick story. I've told this before. I was out in the yard and we used a point system. They came in with zero. We gave them nothing because they have been used to having things taken away. So we let them gain things.
Yeah.
You know, butt backwards. But by now you realize that's how I am. But the kid come up and he said, well, Mr. Sturgeon, I can't get all my points this week. And I said, why is that? He said, well, I can't write. You got a rule. I got to write to my parents. I said, yeah, that's one of the rules for points. Yeah, well, my mother, father, and older brother are in the system. And you got another rule that says one inmate can't write to another. So there you go. I use that as an example to show generational involvement with criminal justice.
Yeah. And we have to break that. And there's ways to break it. And we need the attention. And, you know, in Pittsfield especially, we use our resource officers in the school. They're very, very helpful to us. They notify us when they see a child in need. A child that may turn on the wrong path, and we get them before a crime occurs, and we try to treat them with that. That's why this fall we'll be back in the school system. That's why we hired our community outreach director, so get back in the schools. We're already doing a lot of trainings within our office for our ADAs. We are doing a lot of law enforcement training. We've got a training on June 23rd on sexual assaults for Berkshire wow. County law enforcement. So, and now we're also going in the schools to work on preventive programs and to let people know that we are in the community. One of the things that we've done, Bill, so far, and even this 5 months, and I work 7:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night, and I'm here on weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays. We're putting a lot of time and energy into it. And what we're trying to do is really build something special here, which is to get public safety out in the communities so people know that we're here for them. You know, yeah. I ran a Shagroo for You campaign, and our idea is to be there for you. And we are. I'm out at many, many events at nights all the time, trying to let people know that we are working hard. We're trying a lot of cases, and we are in the community promoting public safety and letting people know that the tide has turned, corner's yeah. been made, and we are now moving forward and making the streets of Berkshire County safer. And certainly, we're starting with the downtown of Pittsfield, trying to coordinate that and get rid of the crime problem that has existed downtown.
Before I forget, which by now you realize could be momentarily, I forgot where the stairway is to get out of my basement cellar for my office. But I would be remiss if I did not applaud you on your selection of the first DA, yes, assistant DA. Marianne, yes. I interviewed her, folks. Some of you remember. I was blown away with her knowledge and her focus and her desire to do good, but follow the law.
Yeah, she comes in with both having been an assistant district attorney in Berkshire County up until 2003 and then became a federal prosecutor. And so when I had heard that she was interested in coming back to the Berkshires, I reached out to her during our transition. I actually saw her during the campaign. We had some conversations about whether I could lure her back to the Berkshires. She was traveling not just across the country, she was traveling across the world. She was a federal prosecutor that dealt with murders, gangs, all sorts of drug offenses, gun offenses, and sexual assaults on a federal level. And she would fly to San Diego. She'd fly to Dallas. She was trying cases on go. Going wow. with that. And I was so happy. And she was making a lot of money. She took a significant, as I did, we both took significant pay cuts to do this job, but we're both yep. also committed to Berkshire County. And she agreed to come on back and be my first assistant. And I couldn't be any happier because she has done nothing short of an exemplary job. She shows the professionalism, the class that I want to come out of this office. And her demeanor is terrific. And she's a great lawyer.
Yeah, and she's a great representation of your office and the future focus.
Yeah, I'm very lucky we've been able to pull together, especially in our Superior Court. We have a young district court, but I've been lucky that of our 24 lawyers in the Superior Court, we have top-notch lawyers. I brought Rachel Aramo back, who was a former prosecutor in the Berkshires, who has specialized in the past with sexual assault. She's got a lot of experience. Marianne, by the way, has got 24 years experience. I brought Kelly Kemp back, who is from North Adams, but was working in the Hamden County DA's office. I brought her back. She's the second assistant, and she's running the district court and our diversion programs. And she does trainings. She does four-hour trainings each week within our office. And we're training. Yeah, every week there's a four-hour training for the younger lawyers in the office. I've also sent a dozen of my lawyers to nationwide trainings already this year, and we've already done a lot of police and law enforcement trainings, and we have, like I said, a new one coming up on June 23rd. So, and additionally to that, we have a strong sexual assault team with experienced trial lawyers, and I feel very content and happy that we have some of the best people in the business running our Superior Court. And, you know, it's going to take us some time to get caught up with the back cases because we did have a backlog and we came in. We're getting them done. And we probably yeah. tried more cases in the last 5 months have been tried in quite a few years. So we've tried a lot of cases. And these are cases that weren't done by our office, but was done by the previous administration. But we're getting them all done. We're trying those cases. And, in fact, we're actually doing a murder trial right now with Ms. Shelby, as you mentioned, the first assistant trying that case right now.
Well, I'm just got to, for the folks, I'm not going to read the names, but pleaded guilty and sentenced on 12 charges. This is May. Pleaded guilty and sentenced a North Adams person. I mean, I'm saying, wait a minute. Is these all May of 2023? They are. It's an amazing. Pleaded guilty and sentenced May again. Violation of abuse prevention order, all kinds of stuff like that. Motion dismissed. Denied. I don't want to tie up too much time from you, but. Pleaded guilty and sentenced on larceny. You know, there's just the death. Your team and you have been really busy.
We have been, and we've been, because there's been some other incidents that have happened. We've been working. I've been working just about every single weekend. Because calls are coming in. People are now used to the district attorney actually being involved in the investigations. And we've had an unfortunate bad death of a child up in Clarksburg, which took a lot of our time. I actually dealt with him the day my dad had passed away, and I was dealing with that investigation. So there is just this is round the clock work for us. I committed to the community that would do that, and we have been doing that. And I am very proud of this staff. I'm talking from the receptionist to the typist to the ADAs and the victim advocates. The amount of work they put in here and the product that they are putting out right now is exemplary. I'm very proud of it. And we've shown that and accomplished that by doing so much in 5 months. Now remember, most new DAs, they have the honeymoon period. Yeah, well, you have a honeymoon period where you're not really trying cases. It usually takes 3 or 4 months before you can get your staff and lawyers up to speed, right? So they usually give you 3, 4 months, sometimes 5 months to get you ready. Now, we started trying cases. We tried a district court date the day I got sworn in. We tried our first Superior Court trial the Monday after I was sworn in on a Wednesday. So we haven't stopped. We have tried, I think, 15 Superior Court trials already. We are not resting. Everybody's working real hard. Normally in the Superior Court, we go every other month. We have taken up the entire civil months and filled them with criminal cases, with the exception of April. I think we only took 2 of those weeks, but we have used up all this particular time. The court has been generous enough to give us the time so we can try these cases. And my 11 Superior Court lawyers have been working their tails off. And I can tell you, they're a little exhausted, but we keep trying to balance it out and making sure everybody kind of shares the wealth and shares the burden, so we're not all trying one after the other. So we're getting there, and the best part is that I'm able, with my 37 years of experience, I'm able to help and direct each of these cases as they're going. I feel more like a coach, player coach, and sometimes just like a coach, because that's what my role really is now, is to help out people, knowing with my vast knowledge of being on the defense side, being on the prosecution side, and now leading this team. We're able to, we break down cases every day. We break down cases that are going to trial. Every single district court lawyer has a Superior Court mentor. So there's 2 lawyers who are assigned to it. Every murder case has 2 the Superior Court trial lawyers. My appellate lawyers are in the courtroom watching during the murder trials to make sure that the appellate issues come up. So we have a real team approach. If you were to walk around this office, you see the smiles and the camaraderie that happens here. This is a great and bright place to work. People enjoy working with each other, and they're assisting each other. And that's the kind of an environment I want to build, not one of fear and apprehension, one of positivity and optimism. And I think we have developed that here. And I think if you ever have a chance to come in and show it, I'll show you around. What a wonderful office this is turning out to be in such a short bit of time.
There's a couple of things I want to get in before the break, because I think it's important. Some people may look at the district attorney Shugru as like a hard prosecutor. And, I'll give him that. I wouldn't say hard. I say an intelligent prosecutor, because he's also working to structure wraparound issues. Like we talked a little bit about the cycle of child abuse. Well, it's one thing to talk about it. From what I've read and what I've heard, it's happening in real time in the DA's office. Now, that to me, That to me is important because of my experience with violent youthful offenders. If someone had intervened, and I mean this sincerely, if someone had intervened right here, perhaps that kid wouldn't have been doing 20 to life in the penitentiary.
That's right. That's the whole idea of the preventive. That's why we do the diversion programs. Really, when you think about the mass courts, there's two really different types of courts. This is the superior court, which usually those are the murders, the serious rapes, the serious trafficking of drug cases, the serious multiple firearm cases. Then we have our district court, which is our people's court. And it really is. It's the people's court. That's where we find that people that normally are not in the criminal justice system end up in the district court. Those are the OUIs and the minor domestic violence cases where minor drug offenses and possession cases and even minor theft cases. But those cases need to be treated just as significantly. And what I mean by significantly mean is that we need to get people help. If someone's got a substance abuse problem, we've got to make sure we're helping them get that issue under control and it's treated. So it's much different. That's why we're developing so much. We use the drug court significantly on that. When we had a couple of major drug arrests in my first 2 weeks in office, we held these bad guys coming in from New York who were not drug addicts, who were serious drug dealers. But the addicts that they were setting up with, we put them into drug court right away, and we diverted them. So we took care of our local people that had problems, and we got them into a helpful situation. And we're doing that on a daily basis. We're trying to avoid the amount of overdose deaths that we have. I can tell you within my own office, within the first 2 months, I had Narcan. I had the entire office Narcan trained and CPR trained. So we brought them within the office. So we recognize the dangers that we see in the community, but we're trying to correct that. The whole idea is to stop it. If someone's got an addiction problem, we're trying to help them get off that addiction problem, get employed. Let's see if we can get them back to be productive members of our community and make this just a bump in the road, because that's what the district court should be, a learning process. So we try to help people out to get them through there. That's really what the criminal justice system should be. Taking an individual approach to each case, dealing with people as themselves, as an individual, and treating them equally and the same, at the same time, giving everybody the chance to prove it. It's all about, big word we use in this office is accountability. If I want to say one thing, I put a big word up, is accountability. I'm accountable to the public, and that's why they voted me in. I'm accountable to my office and staff to make sure I am here before everybody else. I'm here at 7:30 in the morning. I'm probably the last to leave at night. I'm here at 7:30 at night, you know, on a general basis. And I'm accountable to my staff. My accountable staff is accountable to me. That means when I'm in the community, I want to make sure if you're charged with a crime, we're going to hold you accountable. And it depends on the level of accountability that's required. If you're willing to work with us, get into counseling, get into treatment, and avoid this, and so we end that cycle and we end the problem, I'm happy to help you out. I'm willing to give you those breaks that you deserve and earn if we're held accountable and we do what's necessary. I just can't let thefts go unchecked. I can't let our stores being robbed. And it doesn't answer the problem. The answer to the problem is, why are people robbing? Is there an addiction problem? Is there some other issue? Let's address it. So we are charging those crimes and we're getting great results from that. And the ones that are continuing to steal, we'll put those people in jail. And the merchants need to know it. They need to know that they're safe in their stores. They need to know that we're going to listen. The police certainly know. Our relationship with law enforcement is tremendous. You can ask any officer in the entire county. They will tell you the amount of dedication that they see coming from myself and my office is tremendous. They have constant communication with our ADAs. They're better prepared before trial. So, and this is only 4.5 months. We'll meet our 5-month mark on June 4th. So, you know, we're in good shape as far as developing this. We'll soak that we can keep our energy level up and keep this going because the train has left the station and it's moving at a good clip. So I feel pretty confident of what we're doing. You know, we're not going to win every case, and this case isn't about winning and losing. It's not about that. It's presenting a good product in the courtroom, and it's about doing justice. I don't want anybody saying, well, we won this, you won that, you lost that, whatever. We're putting the best cases out forward. And let me tell you something, that the tough cases go to trial. The easier cases plead out. That's basically, you know how the criminal justice system works. Yeah. You probably know it better than anybody else. So that's what we do.
One of my mentors early on when I first started in police work was in Lanesboro. And John McCormick, God rest his soul, I don't know if you remember him, but sure. he was He was, and one day we lost what I thought in the district court, but I was young and the kid was a real kind of a punk, and you know, he had a very expensive lawyer. We won't mention names. I can't afford the lawsuit. But and anyhow, he got off and I walked out, and I'll never forget the chief pulling my arm, because you know, he had kind of an attitude problem. And he said, listen, it's not about winning or losing. It's about doing our job. Right. You did your job. It's all you can ask.
That's right. And we got to do it to the, you know, best of our ability and put good product in the courtroom. And that's what we're doing, putting good product in each court that we're at. And how we do that is we train and we keep training. And that's what we do. I mean, it's not easy for the lawyers. They have to go through said every single week there's a 4-hour training that they've got to go through in order to learn and keep updates with the law. And our appellate lawyer, I read the law every Monday morning. Whatever happened the previous week, we keep up with it. And I'm making sure my lawyers do that. There's a lot of conducting, so to speak, going on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. We're still running, you know, nearly a $6 million budget here. We're running a 70-person office. And we're dealing with budget issues. We have 60 staff and plus 14 state troopers, 13 state troopers assigned to us. Hopefully I want to get to 15, but we have that many people in the office. And on top of that, we are negotiating a lease. We haven't had a lease in 4 years. There's a lot of things that we have to deal, in addition to the jobs that we're doing in the courtroom. So it is an immense job, but you know, we're up to it. And I think that we've shown to the public already that, in this short bit, that we're really committed to being open to the community and letting people know what's going on and what we're doing.
Before the break, I have to say this only because I, under the previous administrations, plural, I have to say, and I've been pretty much all over the world. And when I say this from my heart and from my belief, and you have one of the most stellar, excellent, professional victims witness group that I've ever seen anywhere in the world. They become involved and they stay involved. It isn't, okay, trials over, see ya. You know.
We're very proud of that.
I got to tell you, they're worth my weight in gold. And that is a lot of work.
they are tremendous. And one of the things when I was coming on to this office and I was doing the transition, I really was very familiar with Jane Purse, who is the now my victim witness director. She had been here 31 years. And actually, she was here when I was an ADA back in the 1990s. So I knew of her work. I was very familiar with her. And she wasn't sure she really wanted to step to the podium and be in that spotlight to be the director. But I had a conversation with her in the fall. I said, the amount of work, what you do for victims of crime and what you do for this community, and there's just so many little things that I could tell you even more about it. She goes out to unattended deaths. She does, when we have death by suicide, she's there for the families. And these are not court cases. When we have overdose deaths, she's there with her staff taking care of them and making sure people have the help and the support. When we have someone that was killed that didn't have finances, she found this money to have a young woman from Haiti buried and paid for the funeral. There's just so many things that she does. So when I came on in, one of the first things I did was I had known her work and I was very familiar with it. So I had nominated her for the Victim Witness Advocate of the Year. And I'm proud to say that the state of Massachusetts agreed with me. And they gave her the Advocate of the Year award, which she so wholeheartedly deserves.
Oh, absolutely.
This woman, no matter what, people don't realize, we get calls Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and this woman is out there at people's homes when there's been a death by suicide or there's been an overdose. She is there. She's reaching out to the families and the victims with her staff. And she has developed and built what I consider one of the best staffs I've seen in the Victim Witness program. So thank you for saying that. We have gone to great lengths, and she has built a very bilingual, a very ethnically oriented staff that I am very, very proud of, so that when a member of the community comes into court, not only do they have an advocate with an ear listening to their issues, they also have one that can speak their language and their culture. And I think that's so important, because we do have a big Latinx community. now, which we're proud to see all these beautiful restaurants that are coming up, and the community that is, we're embracing, because they're, you know, obviously it's a wonderful part of our culture and our community. I'm happy to have so many people that are able to speak Spanish within the office and to help these victims through their difficulties. So it was done by design, and the design came from a tremendous woman, which is Jane Birch.
Well, like I said, second to none, in my opinion. And of course, everybody, I got to say this, so, you know, we'll both be in trouble. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, Mayor Tyer, and the mayor's office, Peter Marchetti, and the city council, or the one person riding north in the southbound lane in the bicycle lane. So we're going to be right back. We have to take a minute. I am so honored and privileged to have with me today the new district attorney for Pittsfield. He's not new to the community. He knows the community. He's been on both sides of the bars, and he understands accountability, and he understands intervention, and he understands wraparound, and he understands, let's make this the last time you're in court, not the beginning of life on the installment plan. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. This guy that you see there, the good-looking guy, he is District Attorney Timothy Shagrew. He's an experienced litigator on both sides of the bench. He's been a district attorney. He's been a defense attorney. I can speak to his work as a defense attorney from many, many people who I know through peripherally been involved with his defense work, and very highly thought of. And what he's done since taking over, for those people that are just joining us, I don't want to go back and rehash the entire first hour, but I will tell you this. He has wraparound programs. He has diversion programs. He has a victim witness group that's second to none, my opinion. And I've been all over the world. I've seen them from federal courts all the way down. But his main word for himself and for his team is accountability. And he believes, and I'm paraphrasing, he believes he's accountable to us, the citizens, for the safety on the streets. So without further ado, my district attorney, our district attorney, Timothy Shagrew.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, Bill. It's the whole philosophy within this office is accountability for everybody. If somebody commits a crime, you're going to be held accountable. And like I said, it depends on what level the accountability is. Depends upon what people are willing to do to change that behavior and to get productive, maybe back in the community. We hope to get as many people off drugs as possible, try to reduce the amount of supply that dealers have, to try to get people productive and working, to make sure our community is safer so that we can walk into a supermarket and not have to be worried that someone may have a gun. I want it to be the point that our downtown, that we can walk around again and shop at these wonderful shops that do exist in our downtown communities. And that's true for North Adams and Great Barrington or anywhere we go. It's countywide. We do put a lot of focus on the Berkshires and Pittsfield is really our lifeblood. But the entire county, we see the same problems, whether they're in Sheffield or whether they're in Clarksburg. So we have a big county to handle. But it's all about accountability. And if you're going to break the law, you're going to be held accountable. And it depends upon what you want to do in order to earn a break back. And I will give people chances to not end up with criminal records and do what they need to do if they work with us and you know, A, get off drugs. Let's help people get employed. Let's make sure that we're breaking that cycle of addiction and trying to also deal with mental health issues, which is another very complicated component that we have within our community. And so we're trying to work on those levels. We have written many, many grants already. We're going to have a lot of safe patrols this summer. I've applied for and I hope I receive a $100,000 grant, which is going to give us more patrols on a weekend basis for state police and also more ground troops, people on the ground walking in the community. Because to me, it's really important if we can put our officers on the streets. Yep. So that the public can see them and know that there's a safety component too. So we've already addressed some issues. We had a problem at the Berks Medical Center when we had some guns and drugs coming out of the garage. We attacked that. We've gotten rid of that problem. We are doing it in other parts of the city. I've also partnered already with ATF, the FBI, DEA. It's interesting because a lot of these agencies are located in Springfield, but they hadn't had any contact with this county, with this office in the last 4 years. So we've reestablished those relationships. And the interesting part is most of the directors that are running those Springfield programs live in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
So they have an incentive. They are Berkshire County residents with both the FBI and ATF. I know the two of their residents, along with DEA, and we're working with Homeless Security. And so we're all working in conjunction with our state police and our local police departments.
Yeah.
And on top of that, with our detective bureau, which we used to call CPAC, as you, in your day, you may remember.
Yeah.
Now it's the Berkshire Detective Unit assigned to the district attorney's office. It's more of a jumble word than calling it CPAC, so I still call it CPAC. But they're bringing back a task force as well. So what we're doing is we're taking our resources from all the county, whether it's from officers from New Marlborough or Clarksburg or Great Barrington or Pittsfield or North Adams. We're bringing them into a task force within our state police agency, and we're working cohesively and collaboratively with these other departments. So we're all working together so we know the left hand knows what the right hand's doing, and we're coordinating much better. And at the same time, too, we're getting information from the federal authorities about where some of these high-level drug people are coming from or guns are coming from. So we're dealing with those. And we found and we broke into a little bit already the what I call a organized retail crime ring that has been coming into Berkshire County. As you saw, we hit that with the Alters a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And we're attacking that. So what organized retail crime means, if there's three individuals, one usually being the driver of the vehicle, the second individual being the distractor within the store, and the third is the actual person who steals the merchandise. If there are three or more people, we charge them with organized retail crime, which now becomes a felony, and it's a 10-year state prison sentence.
Wow.
So, and we found out that many of these individuals were coming in and hitting establishments over and over again. And this isn't a minor problem. You're talking literally in some stores where theft of close to $1 million in some facilities, and thousands and thousands of dollars of merchandise that was leaving our county and our community by outsiders coming in here and doing organized retail crime. So we've tackled that and addressed that. We're prosecuting those cases, and we're working on even getting further development into that. We're looking into people who are using people to give them drugs in exchange for stealing or for panhandling. We know there's some activity that's going on with that. We've got our eyes on it, and we're going to continue to work hard to avoid any type of problems that our public may have with running into people that are what I consider to be either dangerous individuals, right, or people that we need to make sure that we're protecting the public from. So
that's a big problem. I mean, I'm trying to think of the store, but it's gone. But they projected this year they'll lose upwards almost of $1 billion in theft.
Yeah, it was a dangerous situation. I think what we had seen a report from 2021 that Walmart and Pittsfield had lost $1 million. I can't confirm that. I just had seen a report of that. I know one thing is that everybody was talking to me during the campaign about the fact that thefts were a real problem for our merchants. I met with the merchants right off the bat when I first got in office. I continue to listen to people and see what we can do. I've asked for help with that, put some cameras in call the police. We will work with you. We are prosecuting these cases. In the past, retail theft was not prosecuted, and as a result of that, local merchants were upset, and they were being stolen from, and the defendants were just walking right back out. So they come back, and they come back, and why not? It's a free. It's only going to give you free candy. You're going to walk in that store and keep taking it, right? So that's what was happening. And so now we're trying to stop that, and I think we're doing a good job of that so far. Again, we've only been 4.5 months in, but I expect that you'll see some great strides in the coming months with that. So
One of the things that I realized working with violent youthful offenders was most of them had no comprehension of consequences.
Right. And that's sad.
Because they were brought up, many of them, and I know this always gets me in trouble, but many of them were I don't want to say doomed, but certainly influenced by the families they grew up in.
Right. And we're trying to stop that. You know, we want to put our input into that. We do stop that to help these kids out before they become, involved, enmeshed in that type of criminal activity. Yeah. And it can happen. I truly believe it. I think we did a good job in reducing the amount of child abuse that we had in the Berkshire County by using the kids' place. We're not going to end everything, but if we can help, especially young offenders, if we can help them out early on and get them on the straight and narrow and not dealing with, the lure of drugs and the lure of a gun and the lure of the high money that initially comes with that, but in the end, nobody wins on those cases. It's hard to educate kids to make them understand that, but we can do it, and there's a way to do it, and that's reaching them earlier. And some of the things that we have to do is just make more things available for the kids in our community. Make sure that the fields and the sports equipment's all open for them. Get them off the street to keep them busy doing stuff. We as a community have an obligation as well to try to keep our kids engaged and sort of growing. And not just being stagnant. And I think what one thing I love about Berkshire County, and one of the reasons I would even throw my hat into this foray, which is what I did, was because of the fact that I know our community is so community-based. Everybody gives a helping hand to everybody. And you just look at the amount of nonprofit organizations that rely upon local aid, and the local aid is here. This community responds to these crises in tremendous fashion. And so I know we can do that here. We are still a small bucolic community. We want to keep it that way. We want to make it sure that it's safe. And I really commend the citizens of Berkshire County for being so committed to their involvement within our community. And that's why I'm out speaking to everybody all the time, is I recognize it and I know what they're doing. And I want people to know that our members in our society, our community, are really helping out. A lot of people that have done well in their lives have given back substantial amount of resources within our community. You don't see that everywhere. There's so much giving back in this community from our citizens within Berkshire County. We ought to take advantage of it and be proud of that fact. And I know I am.
Well, like I said, I've lived all over the United States. I've lived all over the world. Nowhere have I seen a place in the city of Pittsfield in Berkshire County where if somebody's house burns down, there's a fundraiser at the A or the Berkshire Hills or, the Polish Falcons or the Elks, or somebody's got a sick kid. Next thing you know, they got $20,000. And a lot of that $20,000 was 20 and 30 bucks.
That's exactly what it is, Bill. The amount where you see the people, they give what they can give.
Yeah.
And nobody pushes and asks people or shames them into anything. This is what people are voluntarily giving. And sometimes it's just time. Or their energy, or their assets, or whatever they can do to help us out. We see, and it doesn't have to be dollars and cents. But what I like about this and how I built this office up is to be community-based and to be a team approach. We all, I just love seeing the amount of lawyers that are lined up in front of a supervisor's office at the end of a day, asking questions and just sponges absorbing stuff. And I'm seeing that in the community too. People want to hear, what are you guys doing? What can we do to help? And people are offering their services. We are lucky that we live in such a community-based county and a lot of people don't realize it. It doesn't exist to this level in a lot of other places. So I'm proud to say I'm from Berkshire County. I'm proud of our community. And I'm so happy that I can sort of help in the role that I'm doing now to assist with public safety, to make sure that everybody feels safe in their communities and our marginalized communities, especially where they absorb the bulk of the crime, and we're putting our time and energy into it. You know, we talk about the West Side all the time. We will be at the Legends on Saturday on Riverview Park. We'll be out there with my team and volunteering in a wiffle ball tournament, and we'll have our table out there, and we're going to be if you get a chance to come on down, it's a wonderful event. It's really, kids are there. They give out free ice cream, and usually, and I'm hoping it's this way too. The Smoky Divas is usually selling their wonderful food. I don't mean to give a plug on your show, but they are tremendous people in the community as well.
Yes, they
so are. So we like to become part of the community and know that. And if you just look around, if you really mapped out how many events you could go to within your community or in the course of a summer, you couldn't get them all. There's just that many community-based events, and that exists in our community because of our great citizens that live here.
I'm leaning over, not because I'm old, but that could be too. I'm going to let you go shortly, but I have all of these events that I read every morning.
Yeah.
To let people know what you're right. There's so much going on. I could do a whole show on just events.
Yeah, you could.
I'm glad we did this show. I'm glad that the people who look at this on the TV and listen to it on the radio, because we go pretty much the whole county now, radio-wise.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but the other piece too is, I don't know the district attorney personally, other than casually, but I do know this. I do know a lot of law enforcement. And they're very pleased with what's happening internally in the district attorney's office. Now, I'll say this, and I know I'll get some pushback, but, I'm in my mid-70s. this chapter of my life, it'll be a bibliography soon, but an autobiography. But for detoxification, sometimes there are those people who need to be incarcerated because their addiction is so demanding on them. While they may in that moment say, yes, I'll go to voluntary detox, as soon as the Jones comes back, they're out the door. Mm-hmm. Tom Bowler, Sheriff Bowler, Berkshire County, has for years, their Berkshire County House of Correction and Jail, has for years had wonderful programs. Not just incarceration. So I know I've gotten in trouble for this before, but I believe that there are some kids, and I got a couple of years in this field, that given the chance of detoxing and then follow up, which the DA is saying, wraparound. That's what that is. It isn't see you later, you've done your time. That's life on the installment plan. The 2 years here, 5 years there, a couple of years of Walpole back. We don't want that. And I think if I can, D.A. Chagrou, speak for you, he wants to break these cycles. It's obvious in everything he's doing is to break the cycle of crime.
That's true. We work great with the sheriff. Right. He does have tremendous programs. Jail, we like to think, is the last chance when people, we've given the opportunity to try and work that way. But if it requires a jail, finally has to be the situation. At least I know and I'm comfortable with that when they go to jail and the Berkshire County House of Correction under Sheriff Bowler, if they go there, I know they're going to get the treatment. I also know that they give them job opportunities. I know they have a tremendous print program and graphic arts design programs that they're helping people out. They also help them get college credits with BCC and whatnot. They work very, very, very successfully with individuals. Yeah. And their Second Chances program is second to none.
Right.
That program of individuals who have been incarcerated, who have made paid their debt to society and have made their trying to make their transition back into the community, they're doing so much, whether it's to offer, there's just so many programs like coming out of the jail and out of the court system,
right,
where they're helping people get employed afterwards. It's no longer just, okay, you're out the door and walk out the door,
right,
and walk down Cheshire Road. No, what it is now is, help people get trained, get careers, get housing, get mass health, get whatever they need to do when they get out. So they have, give people a working chance to succeed in life. And I saw that. That's why it's good to have both sides of the coin, having been a defense lawyer and a prosecutor, as I like to see people, give them the chance. You can't just let somebody, after they've been incarcerated, go out on the street. Now give them a chance to earn a living. Give them a chance to get housing. Give them a chance to get medical treatment so that they don't fall back into the system. And follow up with the aftercare, because an addict can fall back into the system if the underlying root problem is addressed, which is oftentimes is trauma, is trauma based, or it's usually post-traumatic stress trauma, but you have to address the root problem. So we're following up with that, not just substance abuse treatment, but the underlying mental health treatment, which what led to the depression, what led to you using drugs, what led to you becoming addicted to drugs. So we're working on that, and also helping people get housing, get jobs, become productive, so that they're now working with us. And let me tell you, if anybody says it can't work, they're full of baloney, because I've seen so many, in my 29 years of defense work, I've seen so many young adults, young males and females, provide for themselves, succeed in lives, have run into a difficulty when they were young and made some youthful discretionary mistakes, and have them come back and then become such prominent and really great members of our community and working that way. And that's really what we need to do, is make sure we're giving these people a chance to get back to work. And Sheriff Bull, I know, is doing that.
And I will ditto that. I have seen and still stay in touch with some people who were incarcerated under my control or the control of the agency. But I will also say this. They now have families. They now have good jobs. And it's because somebody took time, not me, but a bunch of people. I hope this program, the viewers and the listeners got to know the person that I know, and that is District Attorney Shagrew. It's the whole purpose of having this introductory program. It's a new office. It hit the deck running. It certainly hit the deck running. And, let's support the DA's initiatives in any way we can. And I've asked him, and he has agreed to. He will appear on this show. I'll work with his team. He or some of his team, but I would like him and his team members, any team, to come on and let you know, because the other piece, in my opinion, I once had, there's walls around penitentiaries. And I had an old warden say to me, "Do you know what those walls are for?" And I said, "Yeah, to keep the inmates in." He goes, "No, to keep the public out." And that was an old philosophy. Right now, the door's open, the windows are up. He, as you can see, he's very forthcoming, and he's very knowledgeable, and he understands being, I think the best thing, one of the best things he brings to the table, is he has been on the defense side and the prosecution. And I think, like me, he get I'm like him, I get to try to understand what makes you tick. I don't, the outer veneer, I learned about from youthful offenders, and I share this with anybody. This is a veneer. This tough guy stuff veneer. They've been hurt, traumatized, whatever, so much that they built a cocoon and they live in it. And don't you try to get in it, because they'll come after you. District Attorney Shagrew, I'm going to let you go back to work. I'm going
to
take a nap.
Yeah, a lot to do, Bill.
Hey, where do you get to my age? My thing now is, what time do I nap, at noon or two? I'll be working with Sue. Thank you so very much. I will swing by one day. I'll work something out.
Coffee. Absolutely.
I got a couple of things for you and Marianne too.
Great. Yeah, love to see you. Anytime, you have always an open invitation to come into my office. And yeah, I think if you ever came here and saw the inner workings of the office, it would lead to a good show for you, so you could explain to your listeners what we do with you.
Maybe so, one day we'll do a show from there.
Yeah, that'd be great, just so you can kind of see what we do within here. I think it's important for the public to know what happens within here. And I also think it's important to know the energetic and the upbeat. It's a young office. It's very exciting. I think you walk in here, you come out, and by the time you leave, you'd be like, wow, we can do something.
Yeah.
And that's the message I'm trying to get across here. It's like, it's all about, yes, we can do this. So it's, again, it's all about accountability, but it's also about being so optimistic that we have the energy and the level to really do what we can do. What we're asking, what we're seeking to do, isn't that difficult. We just need, and we have this community that I know will support it. So I appreciate your support, and I appreciate community support.
And I will tell you, you're exactly right. We have a community that will support it. And the thing is, if the real life, and I'll close with this, real life is not a 60-minute episode of Law and Order. So don't judge every crime or every trial by what you see on television. Life is difficult, especially sometimes for prosecutors. Yeah. To why I always say this, and I mean it from my heart, to all my viewers and all my listeners, God bless. And today, let's take care of each other. We do it very well in Berkshire County, extremely well in Pittsfield. But because each other, that's all that we have. So, District Attorney Chagru, be well. I have a couple of announcements, or people will start sending me hate mail, and I will forward them all to you. Thank you so very much, Tim. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to talk to you and see you again.
I hope so. God bless. All right. So Bobby Weed's 8th Annual Golf Tournament benefits Berkshire County Special Olympics is June the 10th at Windhurst Golf Club in Merivale. Boy, Merivale, they don't even let me out of grounds there. June the 10th. If you want to know more, call Giles LaFramboys at 413-441-7284. Civitan of the Berkshires, they're having a Civitan service squad stuff the truck. Donate gently used blankets, towels, no comforters, please. No ammonia cleaning products, paper towels, or anything like that. And that's going to take place. You can find out more by calling the president, Janet, at 413-329-3324, or go on CivitanInTheBerkshires.org, and you can find out a bunch more. This one is very interesting. Cabaret will be played June the 4th through July the 8th at the Boyd Quinson Barrington Stage. But one of the things I want to make known is there is reflections on anti-Semitism and cautionary tales of Cabaret. That's going to be June 29th, 10:45 a.m. Boyd Quinson. I will be having a person from the Jewish community come on the show, and we'll talk more about this particular event. Also, St. Agnes, they're having the Knights of Columbus at St. Agnes. Be careful, they carry swords. Chicken Parmesan dinner. That will be June the 4th, 5:30 to 6. It's pick up and take out. Bascom Lodge Jazz Dinner Series starting. You can have to know mail at BascomLodge.net as you can tell, I'm racing through. I'll get to the rest of these the next time. I do want to say to all of you, be kind to each other. This guy is, he doesn't have an easy job. But I have a great deal of faith that he'll do a great job. That's all I'm going to say. Be well, everybody. And again, I got the thing right here. Free coffee from District Attorney. Take care, my friend. Good luck.
Take care, Bill.
Bye-bye. Thank good luck. I'll keep on.